Friday, August 15th, and we're going to help you set your lineup for Fantasy Week 21 and talk about sitting your studs right now, talking about some guys coming off the DL and what we can expect from Will Myers, Michael Kadire, Edwin Encarnacion, etc. Homer Bailey's on the DL, Jake Odorizzi is the man, and oh, Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
What is going on? Very impressive stuff. We will spend some time talking about him. Adam Azer, Scott White, Al Melchior. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. If we can get through everything quickly enough, I have a lot of emails I want to read, so that's my task for you guys.
All right, we'll try to help you out with that.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do two-star pitchers later, Scott's hitting advice, and most added, most dropped. So Homer Bailey's on the DL with an elbow strain. Are there any interesting replacements in the Reds' rotation?
It depends if whether or not you find David Holmberg interesting, because that's the most likely replacement.
Bah Holmberg, that's what I say.
So no.
No.
Not that interesting. Carlos Gonzalez will have season-ending knee surgery. Yu Darvish has mild elbow inflammation. No timetable for his return. Justin Upton left yesterday's game with a hamstring injury day-to-day. And Ryan Braun was out yesterday because of the thumb injury, which hasn't been talked about a lot this year since the beginning of the season. Is this going to screw Ryan Braun up for the rest of his career?
I'm going to guess no. And look, I'm not a medical expert. I just think they'll...
I thought you were a medical expert, Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
You just placed one on TV.
But when I was going through, if you haven't seen it yet, on the Fantasy Baseball Today blog yesterday, I posted my first look at a projected first round for next year. And again, going through that process and picking out players for it, I was calculating their average head-to-head points per game. Braun, I think we would all agree, has had a disappointing season, but would you believe he has averaged, at least as of yesterday, more head-to-head points per game than Yasiel Puig, who has been a top 12 outfielder?
So, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we forget he missed some time at the beginning of the season, so when he shows up as low as he does in the outfield rankings, it's actually a little misleading.
Okay, however, I think Roto, I would guess, Braun is not as good. Category is Roto. He's not really homering. He's not stealing like he used to. Gives you a good batting average, but we need home runs from this guy in that archaic category format.
Well, I guess, yeah, he probably is.
To make him
lower.
A great player.
Yeah, right. Not a good starter, but just like...
Yeah, to make
first,
him more
second
like
round
a,
type player.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, where are you taking him next year? Points in Roto?
In both, I think second round.
Yeah, latest early third. I could see him slipping to that just based on the list of names I came up with. I came up with like 34 candidates for the first round. So, obviously, that's going to cover about three rounds.
Next category. Should I sing it? Welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Yeah, I. So this is all about guys coming off the DL, and I.
So this is about Chris Kattar?
No, it's not. It's about Myers, Kadire, Encarnacion, and Fowler, and rest of season expectations. But when I wrote that little title for this category, I went on YouTube and I just started listening to all these TV show theme songs, and that's a really good one. I'd never listened to the whole thing.
Yeah, John Sebastian.
That's a really good one.
I think he was in Love and Spoonful.
Then I listened to the Cheers theme song, and then I listened to the Growing Pains theme song. That was it.
Oh, it's growing. Show me that smile.
Yeah. Oh, show me that smile. Yeah, there
yep.
you go.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I sat that one out.
Yeah, you did. We needed a base there, Al. Will Myers could be back early next week from his wrist injury. What are your expectations for Will Myers? 227 with 5 home runs, 25 RBI, and 53 lousy games.
Lousy games?
Well, he was pretty lousy.
They were lousy. You're right. Those were the lousiest games he's ever had at the major league level.
Probably true.
And he might have some more lousy games because, I don't know. It's been mixed results with players coming back from wrist injuries, but I'm not really expecting a lot, at least initially.
Where's, you know, what, top 30?
Ish, yeah, 30, 40.
I have 57th right now, and I don't anticipate moving him up much when he comes off the DL. There's Vogt ahead of him, Bergeron ahead of him, Tavares, Pagan, Danny Santana. I mean, that sounds like the right range to me.
So, like, Corey Dickerson, you expect to be better than Will Myers rest of the season.
Yes.
I do, too. I'm 46th, by the way.
Next up, Michael Kadire. He was playing well, again, after a really good year last year. 317, 5 home runs, 16 RBI in 31 games. Should be back today or tomorrow. Shoulder injury.
Yep.
All right. Well, tell me.
I like him more than Myers going forward just because, I mean, Myers, obviously there was something wrong with him even before he went on the DL and early in his career, still figuring things out. Kadire had picked up where he left off with the career season last year before this injury, and I suspect he'll be close to the same player when he gets back.
Do you see what I just did?
Circle Kadire?
I did, because I have Myers 46th, I have Kadire 47th. I think Kadire will be better.
All right, rest of season, Kadire or Braun?
Braun.
Braun.
Kadire or Chris Davis with a K?
Chris Davis with a K.
I think I'm going that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I need to go with another Brewers outfielder, Gerardo Parra?
I'm going Kadire there.
All right, then.
Logan Schaefer.
Chris seems to be back to playing every day, by the way. I know there was some concern there earlier, and he had, what was it? Did he have a thumb injury, too?
Yeah, he had some.
He had some kind of injury.
I think it was a thumb injury.
And we weren't sure because they acquired Parra around the same time, and Parra was playing more. But, yeah, it looks like it's still clearly Davis's job.
Edwin Encarnacion is coming back today. Any reason to doubt that he won't be absolutely awesome?
No reason.
Maybe a little time to shake off the rust, but he's Edwin Encarnacion.
By the way, head-to-head points per game, number one is Mike Trout. Number two, Encarnacion, 1/100th of a point behind Trout.
Really?
Yeah.
This is 3 years in a row, right? Now?
Yeah, actually, for him? It's actually a pretty normal one for him based on the last two seasons. It's down for Trout because he's not running like he did before.
Yeah, he's very, very good. Dexter Fowler, 44% owned. He went 0-for-2 with two walks at Boston after going 1-for-3 with a walk against Minnesota. Looking at his season totals, 78 games for Fowler, 269, 6 home runs, 24 RBI, 44 runs, 6 steals, 50 walks, 67 strikeouts. So is this a guy who's a lot better in points leagues than Roto? And how would you compare him to, say, Michael Kadire?
Well, I think you know the answer to that first question.
He is better in points leagues.
Yeah.
It has to be said.
Yeah.
It does.
By somebody.
I ask a lot of questions that I know the answer to because people need to hear them.
I just feel like it's, you know, my responsibility to point that out.
Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, Fowler or Kadire?
Kadire.
Yes, I agree with that.
Fowler or Tavares?
Fowler. Yeah. At least in points leagues.
My gut says Tavares. I'm going to see what my rankings say.
My rankings do say Tavares, by the way, so I should probably change them.
There you go. See, I asked the tough questions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's get into Thursday's standouts. And yes, Tavares for you over Fowler. Mike Fiers.
About time we talk about him.
35% owned.
He was the big news, Adam.
6 scoreless, 3 hits, 1 walk, 14 strikeouts at the Cubs. His previous start was 1 run on 3 hits and 8 innings with 1 walk and 5 strikeouts against the Dodgers.
Mike Fiers. His name is a complete sentence, and he lived up to it yesterday.
Go nuts. Discuss your
thoughts.
I read your little update.
Yeah. In my little update,
your cute little update,
I said, based on how hard he fell after that surprisingly good entry into the big league in 2012. It was great for 10 starts, and then the next 13 starts of his big league career, he had like a 750 ERA. And as hard as he fell there, I thought it was going to take more than 2 starts to win me back over to him. But this start was just so, so overwhelmingly good that I don't see. I mean, you just look dumb if you if you continue to have reservations about him being a worthwhile contributor, not like an ace necessarily. But yeah, he needs to be owned in all leagues. He's relief pitcher eligible right now. That's actually all he's eligible at. But he can be. Based on his minor league track record and what he did in those 10 starts 2 years ago. He can be a good source of strikeouts with a very low whip.
Let's talk about guys you might drop for Mike Fiers. Well, two guys, Alfredo Simon and Aaron Harang. Easy, right?
Easy cheesy.
How about Francisco Liriano?
Nope.
You know what?
You do it?
I think I might do it. It's I can't lean on my rankings because, like I said, Fiers is only eligible at relief pitcher. But let's see. I got Liriano between Colon and Gallardo. Got him behind Carota, McHugh. Yeah. I'd rather have Fiers than all of those guys.
Justin Verlander.
Now that's asking the tough questions again.
Yeah. I don't even think I'd think twice. Yeah, I would drop his butt.
Yeah. I'd do it. But yeah, I had to think twice.
Like it's one of those things where, you know I'm going to rank Verlander ahead of Fiers, but if it's a league where you can honestly justify dropping Verlander, like that's honestly the worst guy on your roster, mm-hmm. then I think it makes sense to do it.
I mean, I wouldn't do it in June, right? But we don't have that much time left in the season.
Right.
Yeah. Now, see, yeah, we've all got Fiers up in our reliever rankings right now. I've got them just behind Smiley and Gausman. Scott, you've got them just behind Nelson.
Oh, you wouldn't drop Gausman at this point for Fiers?
Well, that's kind of why I'm bringing this up, because I think I would do that. So I think Fiers get circled too.
Okay. Did you want to add your thoughts on Fiers?
No, Scott really voiced my thoughts perfectly on it. The combination of what he has already established at the major league level, what he's, you know, clearly established over a much longer period at the minor league level, there's no reason to view what he's done in these first two starts as a fluke or, you know, hard to understand. I mean, against the Cubs, what he did, that was very extreme, but, you know, I don't know if he's a must start, but he's pretty close to a must own.
You know, he and Kyle Hendricks, and even if you want to go a little deeper, Chase Anderson, I don't know how you guys feel about him, but he's been very good. Yesterday gave up 9 hits, but mostly good lately. They are ruining my theory about just not liking right-handed pitchers who don't throw hard. Because they throw like 91. You know, Fiers is blowing these 91-mile-per-hour fastballs by guys time after time. He's got a very weird delivery.
Yeah.
So that might help. Hendricks is a sinker baller, so that kind of changes things. I don't really know too much about Anderson other than that his breaking pitches are like wiffle balls sometimes. Did you watch that game last night against the Marlins?
I did not, actually. I saw none of it.
I've barely seen any of Chase Anderson, so I must confess. But I watched some of the clips today, and it seems like he has pretty good stuff. But, you know, maybe I have this have to change my approach to those guys. I sort of doubt their ability to get strikeouts, even though he just struck out 14 yesterday.
he is kind of an exception, though. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that your general rule is so bad.
Because that was the thing when he came up in 2012, and he exceeded the strikeout rate he had in the minors with the Brewers, but he still put up a pretty nice strikeout rate at AAA. And I remember at that time, everybody was, you know, saying, oh, well, this can't translate.
My general rule is actually more specifically, I don't like right-handers who lose velocity and aren't throwing hard anymore, like Dan Heron. And now we're getting to that point with Verlander. But anyway, other standouts from yesterday. You guys loving the Jake Odorizzi?
I am. I'm getting more comfortable with him as a guy to start every week. Certainly all 2-start weeks. And almost all 1-start weeks.
He's got a 2.63 ERA in his last 12 starts. Has given up 8 home runs during those 12 starts. 21 walks, 75 strikeouts, and 72 innings. Odorizzi or Fiers?
Odorizzi.
Yeah, Odorizzi.
Okay, anything else?
He faced Rougned Odor yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Odor versus Odorizzi?
Yeah, nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Remember how bad he was at the beginning of the year? Like, he was a kind of a fringe sleeper coming in, and everyone was like, man, why did I fall for it?
Mm-hmm.
This guy stinks, and now look at him.
You know, the other thing,
look at him. That's why you don't pass judgment on a young player
yeah.
after only four or five starts, whatever it was.
But you know, the other thing is yeah. he wasn't going deep into games, and that's actually really good for him right now because the innings are very manageable. He's only thrown 129 and two-thirds innings. Last year he threw 154 innings. So he's still got three or four starts before he gets to that. I think that's a good sign going down the stretch here. How about Bryce Harper? Three home runs in his last seven games. I think we kind of expressed some doubt on Harper having a big finish when we talked about him when he was slumping. What about now?
Yeah, they're starting to erase those doubts. And I feel like we can kind of make the switcheroo on him pretty quickly, more so than with other players, because we've been giving him the benefit of the doubt for a long time because, mm-hmm. you know, he's Bryce Harper and all that. So
Bryce Hyper.
Yeah, the hype.
He did, yeah. It was kind of him.
Yeah, no, I agree with those thoughts completely.
Other standouts from Thursday's games?
Well, you know, when you talk about Bryce Harper, I think you just normally sort of naturally segue to Norichika Aoki. At least I do.
Back-to-back in your rankings?
Yeah. But I just at the point where I had pretty much given up on him, and I don't know, to at least some people that might sound kind of silly because Aoki's never really been high-end, mm-hmm. but I really liked him as a points league sleeper this year. I felt like he didn't get anywhere near the respect, and he was somebody who really should be a must-own in those formats, and he had really disappointed. But now we're seeing over the last 21 games, closer to what I expected, actually more than what I expected, .338 batting average, but not striking out at all, 8 strikeouts, 74 at-bats. That's the sort of skill set that I expected to see from Aoki. And
he's been stealing more, too, recently, hasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Yeah, 5 steals during that period.
He is not only that, but the Royals have the best matchups of any team this upcoming week.
Hey, now.
He's my number 5 sleeper.
Excellent.
If you read the start and sit hitters column.
Let's go to email of the day number 1 from Chris. Approve the move. 12-team head-to-head points, 30-man rosters. Would you drop any of the following for Fires? Minor, Nice, McHugh, Nelson, 2-start Bauer, or Wheeler? Minor, Nice, McHugh, Nelson, 2-start Bauer, or Wheeler?
Nice right away stands out. He may actually be the... Well, you know what? I think I'd drop Bauer at this point, too.
Yeah, I think I moved Bauer just ahead of Nice with his performance yesterday. But those are the two logos. I dropped Nice for him.
Email of the day number 2 from Daniel in North Carolina. All right, league dispute kind of deal. Not exactly, but this is interesting. I'm faced with a dilemma that may bring my sportsmanship and honor into question. I'm in a 6x6 head-to-head categories league. Pitching categories are quality starts, losses, strikeouts, saves, ERA, and whip. After 2 days, I'm way down in quality starts, strikeouts, and it's unlikely with my pitching matchups that I'll have a chance at either of those categories. I'm leading in losses, ERA, whip, and saves. I could take 3 of the 6 categories with a chance at saves by not starting any more pitchers, or perhaps only Kenley Jansen. On a scale of 1 to A-Rod, how messed up is this strategy? So basically sitting your starters so you don't lose losses, ERA, or whip, basically.
Am I missing something here? Because I don't see anything dishonorable about this or unsportsmanlike.
Are you cool doing that? Like, it happens a lot in like fantasy basketball. If you're in a categories league and you're trying to win turnovers and you sit everybody and percentages and you sit everybody in like the Sunday game, you know, and people sometimes have issues with that. But I don't think you should. I think
yeah, I've seen
do what you want.
The strategy like this in roto leagues.
Yeah, that's. Like, playing in a league where you can set your lineup daily, like, is kind of so that people can implement strategies like that. If you don't like them doing it, then don't make it so they can set their lineups daily. You
so
know?
On a scale of 1 to A-Rod, that would be Jeter.
Is Jeter like the anti-A-Rod?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Injuries, news, and notes. Matt Harvey will not pitch in 2014. Oakland placed Jed Lowry on the DL with a broken finger, and Andy Parrino was called up. Any chance they call up? They don't have Russell
Addison
anymore.
Russell? No, there's no
so,
chance.
No chance of that.
Rob Manfred is the new MLB commish. The Cubs are calling up Dan Straley to start Saturday, perhaps replacing Edwin Jackson in the rotation. Interested?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in an NL-only sense. He hasn't had great numbers at AAA, but it's the PCL and another promo for a column I wrote. Prospects that may have slipped through the cracks because they hadn't really done anything to this year. And going through the process of picking those out, I was looking through the league leaders at each league, and the PCL league leaders at starting pitcher, because it is such a hitter-friendly league, Straley, even though he has a whip over 1-2, I think, and an ERA over 4, he's not that far down the leaderboard. So that kind of puts it in perspective. Seems like he hasn't done great there, but he's done okay.
I did actually it was the Cal League. Now I'm thinking about it, but you know, similar park factor issues there. And in the Cal League, I think there were a grand total of 6 qualifying pitchers with a sub-4 ERA.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to put these things in context.
Yeah.
Kyle Loesch uncertain for his next start. Got the ankle injury. Jordy Mercer left yesterday's game with forearm tightness. Hyunjin Ryu will likely miss his next start. Charlie Culberson started at shortstop for Josh Rutledge, and he homered against the Reds. San Diego called up infielder Jace Peterson to take Yonder Alonso's spot on the roster. Does Peterson matter?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's really anything more than bench depth.
Okay. Desmond Jennings remained out with a shoulder injury. J.D. Martinez homered. Yoenis Cespedes returned from his hand injury, but he fouled the ball off his leg and he left last night's game. So he's banged up. Josh Reddick went 2-for-4 with a double and an RBI triple, but the triple was a fly ball that Jerod Dyson lost in the sun, should have caught. So 1-for-4 with a double. Neil Walker missed another game, apparently not headed to the DL. How about Travis Snyder, guys? 1-for-3 with a double at the Tigers.
Tigers announcers must have called him Lunchbox about 20 times on the broadcast.
Is that his nickname?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And every single time they pointed out that he's called that because he's shaped like one.
He's shaped like a lunchbox?
No, that's what they were saying.
He's like a handle coming out of his back. Yeah, I don't know what it means either. He's just like a box.
Yeah, I guess he's slightly squattish. I don't know. I think it's a stretch, but
this is a big stretch. I'm not blaming you.
Yeah, no, I'm just a messenger.
Brian McCann could be back soon. Yanhervis Solarte was out with the oblique injury, but he is improving, and Henderson Alvarez expected to pitch on Saturday. Let's look at the most added and most dropped lists, which I did not provide for you guys.
Oh, come on.
I apologize.
You have one job.
I know.
And it's not to talk most of the podcast.
Number one, Mike Fiers. Number two, Kyle Hendricks. Number three, Caleb Joseph. He's only had 2 games this week. Been a dud so far. Number four, David Peralta. Number five, Colin McHugh. Number six, Reimer Liriano. 7, Danny Santana. 8, Billy Butler. 9, Michael Pineda. 10, Jeremy Hellickson. 11, Chris Carter, the CNC Home Run Factory. What? And 12, Norichika Aoki. Anything?
Billy Butler.
Couple hits yesterday.
What's his percentage up to now?
76.
Yeah. Keep adding. Keep adding. The power has finally arrived.
Okay.
Don't know where it went all that time, but...
And you may have heard, the Royals have the best matchups of any team next week. Billy Butler is my number 3 sleeper.
I feel like we're playing Fantasy Feud. There's still 3 names left on the board.
Yeah. We'll have to wait to find those out.
Well, how about number 13, Chase Anderson? Anderson has a 2.19 ERA in his last 6 starts. And was a little homer prone in his first 9. He's made 15 this year. Gave up 9 in those first 9. Gave up 3, though, in these last 6. And about a strikeout per inning. 3.16 ERA on the year. He's 39% owned.
Yeah, and you've kind of summed him up nicely. That's the big weakness for him is he is going to give up some home runs, even though he hasn't done so as much lately. But he does have that strikeout potential. He has really good control. Probably not going to get a ton of run support. So that's maybe a strike against him fantasy-wise. But he's one of the fringy 2-start pitchers for next week that I like the most.
Okay, then. Let's go back to the most added list. Ryan Vogelsong, number 14. Mercer, number 15. Shane Green, 16. Ackley, 17. Michael Taylor, Jeremy Guthrie, Wada, Wong. Mm-hmm. Wada's got two starts next week, and he's only 17% owned. And maybe worth a look?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because there's not too many pitchers with two starts next week.
No,
right?
We'll get into that in a second, but no.
A lot of five-game weeks.
And most drop list, Beckett, Salazar, Danny Salazar, most drop list. Mistake?
Yeah, I think so.
Scott? We know Al loves Danny Salazar. How about you?
I don't love the way he's being used, but yeah.
I mean, there can get to be a roster crunch with Fires stepping up recently, Wada stepping up recently. Who was it just yesterday? Who was
Hendricks?
I mean, we've seen Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah.
We've talked about him. Needs to be picked up. I would add that Trevor Bauer probably needs to be owned over Danny Salazar at this point. So I could. On the one hand, like in an ideal world, yeah, it'd be nice to hold on to him. On the other hand, I could see how, particularly in like a head-to-head points leagues where you only have the 21-man roster, he might be the low guy you have to drop for one of those.
Do you feel like I'm just going to say it. I think it might be a little too high on Trevor Bauer based on yesterday's start. I mean, it was his best start of the year, and he's had a few starts that have been really good, you know, and then he comes back and stinks or is just average. He doesn't usually stink, but he's average so often.
Yeah, no, he is.
And that was against the Diamondbacks.
He's the personification of the minimum quality start prior to the Diamondback start.
Yeah,
it's
he's
always
six innings, three runs.
Six innings, three runs.
Pretty much.
And the thing is, the thing you have to remember, too, is just kind of the game of playing the game. In that, all right, so he had this awesome start. What if the next one is awesome? Well, if you don't pick him up after this awesome start, somebody else probably will. And then if that ends up being the breakthrough, you've missed your chance.
Okay.
I think you'll have other chances at Danny Salazar and a lot of the other players I've recommended dropping for Bauer. It's fun to, like, be right, make a prediction and be right about it. That's not really the key to success in fantasy most of the time.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's predicting players and then there's playing fantasy and like making roster moves and understanding your league depth and all that. I get that.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the you know, and Scott, you've talked a lot about this a lot of times this year, the kind of the game of playing the game. I like how you put that. And I tell you, that really requires you to be so on top of things because I was an early adopter for Mike Fiers even before he was called up, and I thought maybe there was a chance of him being called up. And then he wasn't, and I dropped him, and now I've missed out on him in all but one of my leagues, including one where Scott's got him.
And one where I have him. But you got us. You got it yesterday because I guess you picked him up during
the start.
I did.
The one league, one of our Roto leagues, I did get him. But
I checked
every other league, and he was already gone. So if you're going to play that game, and Scott, you're super successful at it. I mean, you always got to be right on top of who's hot.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to this next category. It's called Sit Your Studs? ? David Wright has a 13-game hitting streak. It's not the best 13-game hitting streak. He's 17 for 54, and he has just one extra base hit, two walks, and 11 strikeouts. He's not even a top 12 third baseman. He's just outside that, only six steals all year. Started in 90% of leagues. Should we be sitting David Wright?
No, I don't think we should. He, let's see, what did you have for him? 17 to 54.
But one extra base hit.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but it's been better recently. Sorry, I wasn't even listening to what you were saying,
that's
apparently.
Right.
I have to go through it myself. 13-game hitting streak. And I read a quote from Terry Collins the other day, and I'm trying to remember it.
I think it was it the one where it was like, his swing's gotten long, but he's hitting better now. We don't care if the power comes back. The fact is he's hitting. We're happy that he's hitting.
Well, I thought there was something about, it does seem like the power's coming back now.
That's not what I read. I read was like, we don't know if the power is going to come back. What's important
is considering
that he's
hitting. Don't even remember the quote, I'll go with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, would you sit him for Josh Harrison?
Yeah. I would do that, but I don't think you can sit Josh Harrison. So you're asking me to pick between two unsittable players, and I would say Harrison at this point.
All right, can you sit Jay Bruce? He homered in three straight games over a month ago, and since then he's batting 202 with two home runs.
Three outfielder league only.
Okay. Would you sit him for Billy Butler at a utility spot next week?
I don't think I would.
Really?
I would like to find some way to get Billy Butler in my lineup. That would be a last resort move to do that.
I agree with that.
Would you sit Jay Bruce for Chris Carter next week?
Absolutely not.
You know,
is he?
I probably would. Unless Carter, and he had went 0-for-4, I think, yesterday.
But he didn't strike out.
No. If he takes an 0-for over the weekend, that changes everything. But provided he keeps hitting over the weekend, I would stick with him.
Shin-Soo Chu and Alex Rios. Can we sit these guys? They have been terrible in August.
Chu, definitely. A mild rebound, but not enough to make him must start again. Rios, I sat him this week, but that was injury-related. I think he can, but I'm going to be a little more cautious about that than with Chu.
Chu has one walk and 23 strikeouts this month.
and I think that's interesting because that's so not typical for him. And because he did have sort of a mild rebound, the little story I've concocted in my head is that he's been sort of publicly chastised for being too passive. He said, oh, all right, you want to see aggressive? Here's aggressive.
This is it, yeah.
I mean, that's almost what it looks like.
And he doesn't steal bases. He doesn't even try. So he's obviously not healthy. Rios has 4 home runs all year, 16 steals. And the batting average was really good, but he's slumping. 4-for-36 this month. One up and one down, and they're on the same team. One up number one is Evan Longoria. He homered yesterday, but 15 home runs this year, a .395 slugging percentage. That is 100 points below his previous career low. That makes him the number 8 third baseman in fantasy. It hasn't been a good year for third baseman. And only 13 fantasy points behind number 5, Kyle Seager. And he's number 8 in both formats, Longoria. Anything to say about Longo?
Well, the last time I took a close look at what was wrong, he was not driving balls for any sort of power that were down in the zone. But that's something that certainly seems like it could be fixable. So if he can extend this into a nice hot streak, it's worth watching. But I do want to see more after, you know, 4.5 months of not very good power.
One down is Kevin Kiermaier, Scott. He's 5 hits in his last 15 games. Is the party over for Kevin Kiermaier?
I think probably over to the extent that fantasy owners need to be concerned with about. He's going to keep playing and probably will hit okay to justify his defense, to justify keeping him in for his defense, but yeah, as far as fantasy goes, I would say the party's over.
Would you drop him for Raimer Laureano?
Yep.
Yep.
Would you drop him for Chris Coughlin?
Yes.
Would you drop Kevin Kiermaier for Zach Walters?
I don't think I would. And if I could be really confident that Walters was going to be in the lineup long term, I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, so I won't.
Well, I think he'll be in the lineup.
I mean, I know that you know, they've got a couple of holes to fill due to injuries.
Yeah,
but
long-term injuries. I don't know what else.
I wish I could remember. There was something I saw yesterday that cast doubt for me on.
Well, Bourne's coming back. That's going to be Brantley, Bourne.
That was it. Thank you.
And Dickerson.
Okay, Dickerson.
They still need a DH, though.
Well, yeah. Isn't Giambi coming back in September?
I have no idea. Yeah. But if they're in a pennant race, I don't think they should start.
They like Walters, so I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They like having Giambi around as a leader and all that. But, I would guess that if Giambi came back, that Walters would get more playing time. But, yeah, I think the Bourne thing just might cut into it enough.
That's true. Okay. All right, 3-man rotation. Liriano, we talked about. He walked 4 yesterday, but in his last 6 starts, 189 ERA and 61% of his strikes. 61% of his pitches have been strikes. You guys think he's pretty much must-own?
Yeah, pretty much. I took Fires over him just a minute ago, but...
But you called Fires must-own.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And, the strikeout-to-walk ratio during the stretches looked much like it did last year, which is good by his standards.
And Steven Strasburg had a very good start, and Max Scherzer had an amazing start with 14 strikeouts in 8 innings against Pittsburgh.
It's fires-like.
Anything to say about Strasburg or Scherzer?
Nothing about Scherzer, because he's just elite.
Yeah.
And I've up until last week or two, I thought Strasburg was right there with him. But, you know, again, I don't know what I was doing without baseball heat maps, where I discovered that a few weeks ago, but... the data there shows me that Strasburg, when he's getting hit hard. A lot of long flies.
Interesting.
And, you know.
So do you take, like, Hamels over him? Cole Hamels or Whole Camels, as Dane Dane Perry would say. I almost called him Dane Cook. That's how funny he is.
Pain-dairy. No,
he's a lot funnier than Dane Cook. Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, right now I would. So Strasburg's getting circled, too.
How about you, Scott?
No. I mean, I got Strasburg, Bumgarner, Greinke, Hamels, Kluber.
Gotcha.
Cueto and Sale ahead of Strasburg. I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Fringy starting pitchers: Dylan G, Jorge De La Rosa, Chase Anderson, Roberto Hernandez. Rank them.
Anderson, G. Boy, really tough. I'll go De La Rosa over former Fausto.
I'll go Hernandez over De La Rosa because, man, he's been good recently.
Last 9 starts, 4-3, 2.73 ERA. Bad walk to strikeout ratio.
But
yeah, that's what you're getting from him.
Exactly. You're getting a lot of ground balls.
Strikeouts, you're not going to get them. He's kind of a poor man's Henderson Alvarez.
Do you think he is a poor man's Brandon McCarthy and that change of scenery does him good?
Well, he was doing well before that.
Yeah.
He was.
I'm not sure. Maybe the change of scenery already did him good. Is Rich Doobie still the Phillies pitching coach?
I think he is.
He's a pretty good one, right?
I suppose.
I think he's regarded as a very good one.
Yeah.
A good one.
I mean, if I know his name, that's a good
sign,
right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. Bullpen news, Trevor Rosenthal had a rough outing. I'm assuming not worried?
Not worried, but I feel pretty comfortable just calling this a disappointing season at this point. Yeah, he's managed to keep the job, but very high whip. I really thought he was going to be top 6 elite, and he's not been.
I'd like to break it down like after the first month or whatever. I'll do that. And in deep leagues, Eric Stoltz has given up 3 earned runs in 19 and 2/3 over his last 3 starts. Any interest?
Nope. Be very volatile.
I'm giving you guys about 8 minutes to give us these starts and sits for next week so we can read a bunch of emails. I want to help as many people out as possible.
That's a long time. You
it
usually
is,
give me like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but I always say 2 minutes, but
then it takes 8
longer. So you have 1 minute.
Oh, goodness.
Go for it.
All right, so yeah, I mentioned the Royals have the best matchups for this upcoming week, and that's good news for both Butler and Aoki, who have been hot recently. Other good matchups are the Twins, who are playing 8 games because of a doubleheader. So while, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something like, I don't know, 6 to 8 teams are playing 5 games. The Twins are playing 8. Quite the contrast. So yeah. Twins have good matchups, the Mariners have good matchups, the Nationals, and the Padres. And it really doesn't end there. I feel like it's kind of like last week that where there's a lot of bad pitchers taking turns this week. Maybe just because injuries have thinned things out, I don't know. But yeah, a lot of good matchups, more so than bad. For example, the Cardinals have pretty good matchups. And they're all against right-handed pitchers. So that's good news for both Matt Adams and Colton Wong. You won't see Adams as the start in the column because he's started too much already, about 80% of leagues. But Wong definitely could be started in more. I also like Martin Prado because the Yankees have good matchups. Again, not top 5, but good. And 4 of them are left-handers. Prado's batting about .350 against lefties this year. So... been playing every day since the trade. I think there's a good chance he gets things going this week. The number 1 sleeper for this week, plays for that team with eight games, the Twins, and it's Danny Santana.
Yeah.
Who, even though he's shortstop eligible and probably half your league needs a shortstop, he's still only 70% started. Still not quite getting the love he deserves. The number two sleeper is Cole Calhoun, who, because of a slump recently, his starting percentages dropped below 70. The Angels, again, another team with pretty good matchups. Six of their seven are righties, and they're guys like Brandon Workman, Alan Webster, Clay Buchholz, and Ruby De La Rosa. So I think he bounces. He continues this recent turnaround. Some bad matchups for this week. There's fewer of these, so these are pretty much the five. The Rays, the Mets, the Giants, Diamondbacks, and Blue Jays. Only one of those teams are among the teams that play five games, by the way, the Blue Jays. It's kind of annoying how that happens, all these teams playing five games, and they have, like, the best matchups. The Rockies are one of those teams, five games, but they're all at home. But anyway, getting back to the bad matchups and who that affects, Lucas Duda, even though he started in, like, 85% of leagues, and we'd be calling him a must-start recently, because the Mets have the second-worst matchup, and they're four out of six left-handers, he's like a 170 hitter against lefties. I think it's a... You might want to consider sitting him this week.
So you maybe throw Billy Butler in there if you have him for Lucas Duda.
Yep, yep, that would work. Or Matt Adams, who I mentioned earlier. Desmond Jennings, you mentioned he was hurt.
Yeah, shoulder injury.
Shoulder injury. He thinks he's going to be back this weekend. And for some reason, he started in like 60% of leagues. I don't know what he's done to deserve that, but... the injury combined with the fact the Rays have the worst matchups, I think you sit him. Steven Vogt, because the Athletics are one of those teams playing five games and two are against lefties and he can't play catcher, there's a good chance he ends up playing only like two or three games this week. So as hot as he's been, I'd probably sit him. And I think I'll save the rest for the column. So
all right.
Go check it out on the site when it's up. Probably tomorrow morning.
Trevor Rosenthal, since May 15th, has a 2.33 ERA, 51 strikeouts in 38 and two-thirds, and a 1.34 whip. Pretty bad.
Whip it good.
Yeah, and it's got bad whip all year. So even when he was pitching well, bad whip. All right, here we go. Al, two-star pitchers. Let's pull it up on the old computer.
90 seconds on the clock.
Not all right, that
well,
many
while
this
you're
year, this
pulling
week.
Stuff up.
I got it. I'm
all right. Well,
Jared Weaver at Boston at Oakland.
Oh, we're going to go that way. Start him.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You don't, you don't like him on the road.
But Oakland's a good park. It's also a good team. But this is just more relative to who else is available.
Okay. How did you want to start?
I just wanted to go right to the guys who are on waivers in a lot of leagues.
Okay.
Because Weaver is what? He's
universally owned.
77% started.
Yeah. But no, that's a good question because you're right. Two road starts.
Ian Kennedy. You're not doing... We're doing things my way.
Yeah.
Ian Kennedy at the Dodgers and at the Diamondbacks.
You're the host. Start him.
Alfredo Simon.
Don't.
Ever again.
All right, Barty Colon, Cubs at home and Dodgers on the road.
First time that I can ever remember since doing this column, I'm making him a must start.
Hey, Mike Leake at the Cardinals and home against the Braves.
Very low-end borderline start. Avoid him if you can.
But those are two of the lowest scoring teams in baseball.
Yeah, and he is just somebody I don't really trust, Mike Leake, to tell you the truth.
Back me up.
Because he's good. I don't know.
Well, the ERA is what, about three, around 3.7.
The whip's about 1.2. Strikeout rate's about 7/9.
Strikeout rate is high, and I can't figure it out because the whiff rate is the usual, which is low. So I don't even really trust the strikeout rate, which is good but not great.
And he goes like, I think he's on pace for like 220 innings.
He's very efficient. He'll give you innings. So
what's like, what is distinguishing Colon from? From Leake, who I think Leake actually has lower ERA.
Colon is well, but Leake's ERA is, or I'm sorry, Colon's ERA is inflated by those few really bad starts, which are now becoming a smaller and smaller part of his total game log. But the bigger reason is this: I think he's going to help owners far, far more in WHIP. Even if ERA's a wash, the WHIP is going to be a lot better for Colon.
I know. I'm just saying.
What about in points leagues?
These
Well, then that low whip is going to translate into fewer hits and fewer bases.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just don't, like...
Two starts at the Cardinals at home against the Braves. I mean, these teams are bad matchups.
Yeah.
Bad hitter.
And even if Colon's better, a week with few two-star pitchers...
So you just feel like Leak is, like what, must start?
Well,
or?
Maybe not in Roto. I can understand not in Roto, but in points leagues, I think it's a slam dunk when he's
making two starts. Well, let's go through the list because, again, these lists are always relative to who's available. And I think there are a lot of pitchers available this week who I like at least a little bit more than Leak.
Kyle Hendricks.
Like him. Like Chase Anderson. Wada.
Pineda, Vogelsong, two road
Vogelsong
starts.
Vogelsong I do have behind Leak.
Okay. CJ Wilson at Boston, at Oakland.
I've got him right around Leak's neighborhood. I might have him behind Leak.
I would go with Leak.
Yeah, I trust. You say you don't trust Leak. I don't trust Wilson.
I don't trust him much either. They're back-to-back. I have Wilson ahead because the last start was better, and his upside, I don't think you can argue, is leaps and bounds above Mike Leak's.
Well, I think... It's one thing to compare him to two-start guys if you're just talking about who to pick up, but it's another thing to compare him to one-start guys. Okay. You know, that might be what you're doing. Like, would you go with a one-start?
Well, I'm comparing two-start guys. This is what I'm saying. Is that you look at all the two-start guys that are available.
But I'm just saying,
like, doesn't distinguish himself.
If you have Mike Leak already, because he is owned in 78% of leagues.
Okay.
Do you start him over like a, I don't know, one-start? Let's just start with this one-start Mike Fiers.
I probably would, yeah.
Leak over Fiers,
yeah.
All right, so then I think we're having two separate arguments here. Maybe he's not one of the best options this week, mm-hmm. but if you own him, he's pretty startable.
And he's on the list, so I'm not saying don't start him. I'm saying consider these other, 10 pitchers who are on waivers before you consider him.
All right, that's got to just frame it right. All right, keep going. Who else do you like that's out
Jonathan
there?
Jonathan Lucroy of podcast hosts. Excellent framer. So where are we?
Just other guys to pick up.
All right. So we mentioned Hendricks. Just looking at guys who are available in our leagues, 30% or more. Hendricks Bauer, who we've talked some about, at Minnesota versus Houston. So I'll have my doubts about him. You conceded that, with a good matchup like the Diamondbacks, Bauer could be good. I think these are both pretty good matchups.
Good week.
Yeah, Vogelsong is the last guy on my fringy list. He's been okay lately, but sort of similar argument to Leak that I just don't think he distinguishes himself, and he's not as efficient as Leak either. So I actually like Leak better than Vogelsong. Vance Worley is also pretty far down, and now that I'm thinking about it, I have him behind Vogelsong on the fringy list because I actually don't trust him to make that second start. Gerrit Cole's coming back. Best case scenario, I think, for Worley is maybe he stays in the rotation, but he gets pushed back a day, so he still loses the second start. And I think there's an even more likely scenario where he's just out of the rotation.
All right, we got guys like Vargas. You mentioned Chase Anderson, Masterson, Kyle Gibson, Tsuyoshi Wada.
Yeah, Wada is a borderline start for me, kind of in the middle. So worth making room for, but not a priority. Vargas is almost must start this week. At Minnesota, at Texas, been very good lately. Mentioned Masterson. He's a must-sit for me. That Marlins start was not enough to convince me. Still not very many swinging strikes there. Still not great control until I see those things.
Gibson, Wada.
Start Gibson. I want to put on interesting and start Wada. Like I said, not highest priority, but he's startable. Gibson, he's had three really bad starts out of, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm guessing, I think it's like the last seven. It was the Yankees, I think it was the Rays, and I'm missing the third team. But the point was that it was the three teams, two of the teams that are least likely of all the major league teams to swing at pitches outside the strike zone.
Oakland.
And the Yankees were fifth lowest.
Oakland.
So right, Oakland, extremely selective. Mm-hmm. So you had the two most selective lineups and the Yankees the fifth most selective lineups. The other opponents he aced.
Yeah. So Cleveland and Detroit this week.
Middle of the pack in that regard. So I totally trust Gibson this week.
And then deep leagues, Oberholzer, maybe?
Oberholzer makes the fringy list. I like him.
Better than Webster and Workman and Nuno and Trevor May and Jerome Williams.
Miles ahead of all those guys.
Yeah.
Overholtzer's been really under the radar. Good control. Sort of like Chase Anderson without the strikeout potential, but should help you a lot with whip, but could hurt your ERA with home runs.
All right, let's do some emails. Scott Dodds in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Grade the trade deadline moves. 14-team Dynasty League in second place. Gave up Prado and Alex Wood. Get Jason Kipnis. And I picked up Fires to replace Wood.
Grading it, I'll give it a B.
I don't like it. I'm giving it a C-.
Excuse me? Giving up Prado and Alex Wood for Jason Kipnis and getting Fires on waivers?
What are you, his teacher?
This is just another case. Alex Wood, I don't understand why he isn't treated with the respect accorded to a number two fantasy starter. Because that's how good he is.
Well, is Kipnis worth less than a number two starter at this point?
I suppose I think so. Yeah. And I don't think Fires. I like Fires, but I don't trust him nearly to the degree I trust Wood.
He did say pitching is a huge strength for his team, so I don't know if that helps.
Maybe with contextual extra credit, I give it a C, but I don't think it's any better than that.
All right, and I traded Gregory Polanco and Drew Smyly, 14-team Dynasty League. I got Ian Desmond.
I will give that. Boy, he's really looking to upgrade his infield here. I like that one, too. I like it a little more. I'll go B plus.
Me, too.
Chris, I was hoping you could spend a few minutes talking about who the Orioles will use to replace Machado. Scope, Flaherty, Cord Phelps, and are any of them worth adding in a points league?
Well, you know, Scope's already pretty much a regular. So I would think Flaherty probably is. Although, well, actually, let me reel that back.
Chris Davis,
because
right.
Chris Davis. Chris Davis. So then who's the first base replacement? I would think that's probably Pierce.
Yeah.
I'm a little more interested in Pierce than Flaherty, but not I'll be honest, not that much.
You're not talking about great options here unless Pierce gets hot again. Benny Rodriguez from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Dear Murdoch, Hannibal, and Face Man.
That's A-Team, right?
I guess. I've never seen one episode, but I know Murdoch.
Murdoch and Hannibal,
12-team points head-to-head league. Our double elimination playoffs start Monday. Hanram on the DL, so I can add a player. Who to add? Billy Butler, Aramis Ramirez, John Jay, Yanhervis Solarte, David Peralta. Everybody say it at the same time. One, two, three. John Jay.
I wondered where you were going with that.
Billy Butler.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it's DH.
Because I was thinking maybe Aramis, but.
And then Solarte, when you factor in the shortstop eligibility, but if you don't care. I guess. You know what? I think I do like Aramis Ramirez more than Butler just as a straight-up hitter.
So I ask you guys to say something on the count of three, and you just completely ignore it.
Yeah, because I knew where you were going, and I wasn't going there.
I didn't know where you were going. I wasn't confident I'd say what you were going to say.
Here's an email from Cliff. Wants to revisit our discussion on chasing hot streaks and an email he sent us last week. I asked about whether or not to drop Alex Rios in my 14-team league with Aoki and Prado as other options. You guys recommended dropping one of them. I'm not going to argue with Prado, but he's going to be filling in for Machado, so now I'm stuck. Aoki, basically he doesn't want to drop Aoki for Rios. And so he wants to know about chasing the hot streak of Aoki to make aggressive moves for a playoff berth. And dropping Rios instead. What do you guys suggest?
So Aoki is out there.
No, Aoki is on his
team. Okay, so then.
And he has to drop
Rios one. Is out there.
No, they're both on his team, and he has to drop one.
He has to drop one. Okay, because, all right, I did understand this, and I would start Aoki over Rios in this situation. So thanks for not paying attention to us when we said drop Aoki, because that was bad. I wouldn't want to drop Rios. I guess if that is your choice and this is your situation, okay. But there's got to be a better drop than Rios. I really have to think.
Okay, but there isn't.
Okay.
What do you do?
Then go ahead.
Drop Rios?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm to that point with those specific players. Like, because, as hot as Aoki is, even a hot Aoki can only do. That sounded funny.
Yeah.
Can only do so much for you. It's not like when Chris Carter gets hot and you get six home runs that you weren't going to get otherwise, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could, this late in the season, I could see a banged up Rios just being comfortable letting him go to somebody else. But I'm not sure Aoki's the player who makes it worth doing.
We got to go. So Don in Cincinnati is in a 20-team dynasty league, 6x6. We've got to re-sign Adrian Gonzalez for 2 years and Ryan Zimmerman for 3 or 4 years. I need to figure out my other two players to sign. Aaron Hill, Leonis Martin, Kevin Kiermaier. Again, this is a 20-team dynasty league. Michael Taylor, Rob Refsnyder, Ruby De La Rosa, Colome, Daniel Norris, Giles, or Betances. Who would you sign in for how many years? He's got, looks like, 8 to 9 years remaining to sign two players to.
I have to be honest and say I'm not really excited about anybody on this list. Okay, and it's head-to-head categories. So maybe
I could see Taylor.
I was leaning
and
that
I
way.
Could see Norris because Norris is a shortstop, a ways away. I might go 5 Taylor, 4 Norris, or maybe the other way around. It's, you know, it's hard to know exactly how the economics play out when you're not in the league. But those are the two that I could see having the biggest long term impact. And Norris, because of the position he plays, Taylor just because.
Well, he's this, no, this is the Blue Jays pitcher, right?
Oh, did I get it wrong? Did I mix up my Daniels?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because you're thinking
Robertson. Daniel Robertson.
And we talked about both on the show yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, but still, Norris, I do think is whether it's Norris or Robertson, I think he has some of the most upside of any player on this list. I'd probably go 5 for Taylor, 4 for Norris because Norris is close.
I'm not that sold on either one of those guys. I think I'd go actually Martin and Taylor, maybe two on Martin. And
what if Betances is the closer next year? It's a 20-team league.
Yeah, well,
what
if you he's can not? Say the same thing about Giles too.
That might even be better because Robertson's a free agent. That's the thing. So would that change things?
Well, I mean, it might not hurt to throw a year or two at Betances. I wouldn't go long-term on him because if you're wrong, you're stuck with a setup man for a long time.
All right, one more from Angel of Milwaukee. 12-team head-to-head points. Grade the trade. Give up Rios and Hutchison. Get Tyson Ross. Oh, my gosh. Great trade.
Yep. B+.
Sure.
Approve the move. Pick up Reimer Liriano and drop Rosario for Darnell.
Meh.
Oh, approve. Both are approved.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.